Hello, everyone, and welcome to Produce Talks, the podcast brought to you by the Canadian Produce Marketing Association. I'm your host, Jen Ongtone, Manager of Health and Education at CPMA. Throughout this podcast, we sit down with industry experts and leaders from across the produce supply chain to explore the latest trends, challenges, and opportunities shaping our industry. Let's get started.
So welcome to the CPMA My Produce Story. Today's topic is sustainability, a lifelong pursuit. I'm pleased to be interviewing today Justine Taylor, Chief Sustainability Officer at Topline Farms. We'll take an opportunity today to learn about Justine's career path, as well as the challenges that a Chief Sustainability Officer faces in the fresh produce industry. So welcome, Justine.
Thanks, Dan. Good to be here.
Thank you. So let's just get right into it. What has been your sustainability journey that has brought you to your current role as Chief Sustainability Officer for Topline Farms?
So I actually didn't set out to work in sustainability. It was a bit of an accident. So my background is actually in science. I have a PhD in analytical chemistry. And I'd say I've always been drawn to understanding how things work and to solving complex problems. So after I'd had my fill of academia, I stumbled into a job in agriculture, and really, I'd never looked back. But I will say that, like, the innate curiosity that drove me to the sciences in the first place has served me really well in agriculture. It's fair to say it's a sector that never stands still. Every season brings new challenges. Every market brings new challenges. And innovation and efficiency become really the way that you stay resilient and relevant. So I spent nearly a decade with the Ontario Greenhouse Vegetable Growers, and during that time, I covered pretty much everything that would make up a sustainability role today. So energy and environment, workforce supports, community engagement, regulatory compliance, as well as innovation. And at the time, none of those things were really technically called sustainability. I wasn't filling a sustainability role. They were just issues that mattered to growers and to governments and to the communities we lived and worked in. So it just kind of evolved naturally. But looking back on it, it absolutely was a sustainability role. We just didn't use that language.
Yeah. I think what's interesting with that, Justine, is I say sustainability has always been there. We maybe haven't called it that. And I think the other point you raise is the complexity of sustainability. I mean, it is, there's so many things that are interdependent and interconnected. And so that science background obviously sounds like a great sort of toolbox to navigate this kind of environment. So maybe having said that, how have you seen the role of sustainability, of a sustainability specialist or a chief sustainability officer evolve over your career to date, other than maybe it wasn't called that and now it is? But what else have you seen?
Yeah, so I think that's an important point to note, that a lot of the stuff we've been doing already, it's just now we call it sustainability and it's under that umbrella, the umbrella. So I tell you, early on, sustainability was treated more like a compliance and communication piece. So it was really more focused about checking boxes, writing reports. Even from a reporting perspective, I think it was more focused on practices and self-declaration. So just saying, yes, I am sustainable because I check box these practices in my operation. But I think today, simply stating that you're sustainable is not enough. You need measurements. You need proof. Retailers and customers are increasingly looking for evidence of your efforts. And assurances that you're working towards continuous improvement. So not just stating that you are sustainable. And I think because of that, sustainability roles are far more integrated into business function today. So it's more about developing strategies, mitigating risks, and taking advantage of opportunities that all contribute to the greater business strategy or business profile. So I very much see those sustainability roles, and especially a role like mine, the Chief Sustainability Officer, it really now sits at that decision-making table and provides a lens of sustainability to all the business functions.
Fascinating. I think that they maybe like almost build on that with maybe our next question, because as someone that's dedicated to sustainability and the challenges that are the balancing of the social, the economic, and the environmental outcomes, what do you see? I mean, there's obviously a lot of challenges there, but what do you see as sort of the leading challenges facing sustainability leaders today? You mentioned being in the boardroom, the complexity, but if you were to sort of distill it down to, you know, what are the things you got to get right, the things you got to really sort of get a handle on to do a job like this?
Yeah, so I think I can look at this maybe two ways, both from an internal and external perspective. So from an external perspective, I think one of the biggest challenges right now is just how complex the landscape has become. There's this explosion of sustainability frameworks and social audit schemes. And while it shows great momentum in general for the sector, it also means a lot of duplication. So every retailer seems to have their own version of what sustainability means to them. And so you end up doing a lot of similar work multiple times in slightly different ways. And I think the intent is great. You know, everybody's trying to raise the bar. We're all trying to get better. But that lack of alignment can really slow progress, I think. One of the challenges internally within the operation is making sure that you're bringing the rest of the business along with you on your sustainability journey and making sure they understand why we're undertaking these efforts. So it's a little bit about change management, but it's also a little bit about the economics of sustainability, right? So really illustrating in kind of a business case perspective, what various sustainability activities can deliver in terms of increased profits or mitigating risks or saving money or operational efficiency. So it's really being able to speak both of those languages, right? Both the sustainability language as well as the business language. So you really drive home the importance of these activities to your operations and to your colleagues.
And again, I'm glad you mentioned the economics, the risk management, the operational efficiency. So I think that kind of lends very well into another question that we, and a topic we tend to discuss a lot is, you know, the future of sustainability for the fresh produce industry and for the professionals that manage it within. What do you see as, you know, sustainability leaders will need what in their toolbox? And maybe even things they'll have to let go to continue to support these complex mandates. And you mentioned, you know, maybe it's the economics, it's how the business operates. What are your thoughts in terms of, you know, what needs to be in that toolbox for a sustainability expert in this environment?
Yeah, so I'll continue along that thread. I think the financial fluency is critical. So I think sustainability leaders really need to be able to articulate the business case that they're trying to put forward, connecting both the environmental and the social progress they're trying to achieve to efficiency gains, risk mitigation, and long-term value capture. So I think that's a really critical piece for sustainability leaders. But if we look a little bit broader, I think what I see as potentially the future is increased transparency kind of throughout the supply chain. And I think it's already starting now, like retailers are asking for more transparency from their suppliers. Suppliers are being asked to consider more thoughtfully their supply chain. So kind of going all the way down the levels, right? And seeing what is happening at each step in the supply chain. So I think, you know, from a consumer perspective, you know, and this has been going on for some time, but I think consumers are increasingly interested to have better visibility as to how food is grown, who's behind it, how does it get to market. And then I think along with the transparency piece is not being afraid to share our challenges as well and potentially lessons learned along the way. I think a lot of times we really want to focus on our sustainability successes. But I think if we are a little bit more transparent about the challenges that we're facing, I think that will help to move the sector forward as a whole.
Yeah.
And it kind of dovetails, I think, into another thing that I think is maybe a challenge, but also an opportunity for the sector. And that's really focusing on the pre-competitive collaboration that I think we're going to need to see across the sector. So some of these challenges we're looking at are they're big, big challenges, right? Like reducing food loss and waste, plastic circularity. These are really big challenges that I suspect no single company is going to solve on their own. So I think in order to make progress on these big challenges, we need to be collaborative across the sector in a pre-competitive way. I'm not quite sure if we're there yet, but, you know, I see the door beginning to crack open. I see more willingness and opportunity to work in collaboration with what used to be competitors. So I really hope that that's the direction we keep going and we see some more collaboration on these really big problems.
I like how you phrase this because it goes well beyond sort of the science of sustainability or even having a science background to the ability to be able to collaborate with others. And again, that pre-competitive space, to be able to work with suppliers and argue why transparency is a benefit. And then ultimately, when you get to consumer perceptions, you're talking about even butting up against greenwashing, you know, like that's mm-hmm. whole conversation around how do we communicate this with people? Mm-hmm. So again, it goes well beyond that skill of, you know, how do you measure GHG or how many, you know, what material do I pick for packaging, which could mm-hmm. be a very technical discussion. So fascinating.
I think we've done a lot of great work on the environmental pillar of sustainability. You know, we're looking at GHGs. People are thinking about how they're using their inputs. A lot of people are measuring their inputs, whether that, you know, that's water or fuel or whatever. Right? I think there's been a lot of focus on the environmental pillar of sustainability. And I think going forward, we're going to see an increasing focus on the social and economic pillars. And you're seeing that already starting now with the increase of social audit requests from retailers. But I think in general, sustainability is going to become more people focused and more economics focused in the future, rather than being so swayed towards the environmental pillar.
Yeah. And ironically, I mean, when you look at the classic definition of sustainability, it's the balance, that really elusive balance between the social, the economic, and the environmental. So it's almost like the progress we're making is actually to try to move towards that really difficult part of getting the balance between those three right, which is positive in saying it that way. So let me turn to our last question. Again, thanks, Justine, for sharing your insights today and just, you know, what your journey's been and what you've learned going through it. So if you had one piece of advice to give to sustainability specialists that are just starting their journey today, what would it be? And maybe in a way, you know, maybe it's the advice you would have given yourself at the start of this journey. So what would that one piece be based on what you've seen and where things are going? What's your one go-to insight?
You know, the piece of advice I'll give to anybody starting off in their career, whether it's sustainability or otherwise, and that's stay curious and stay open. You know, really understand the business that you're serving and align your strategy to them. So from a sustainability perspective, you know, don't start off with the frameworks. Start off with the why for your business, for the customers that you're serving, for the business that you're serving. Understand your business, your people, and your community before trying to change them. And I think that kind of circles back to a point I made earlier about being able to speak both languages, right? Both the science and the data side, but also the strategy and communication side. Data gives you credibility, but storytelling is what's going to really allow you to influence people. So stay open, stay curious, you know, understand the business you're working in. I think that would be my... And maybe specifically for sustainability professionals, I'd say be protective of your optimism. I think sustainability can feel like an uphill battle. But, you know, persistence and collaboration and working with people, that's really what's going to make the difference.
Yeah. And I think that's a very, very nice place to end today, because obviously sustainability is going through a bit of a challenge right now with, you know, what's happening in Europe, what's happening in North America, what's happening with the international, you know, global plastics treaty negotiations not going as well. So it is a difficult slog, but yet, as we said at the beginning, sustainability has always been there and it will always be there. And so this is really a field that's important for the industry, of course, and to have the right people, you say, who can be curious, who can stay open and can kind of see that ultimately at the core of our industry is the ability to balance that social, that environmental, and that economic. So thank you for this, Justine, and congratulations on the journey to date, and best of luck going forward. So with that, we're going to wrap up our podcast today. So again, thanks for joining us, and look forward to seeing you on our next podcast. Thank you.
Thank you to our guests and to you, our listeners, for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to Produce Talks on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Until next time, fill half your plate with fruits and veggies, keep seeking new knowledge, and never stop growing.